There can only be one.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with you, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to The Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of a TV series, and then just try and, you know, figure out what happened. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm very well. There can only be one of me on the pod, so I'm glad that I slayed the imposter, Jeremy. He popped up for a few episodes that you can find him on the dark web, but...
And you've absorbed his power now.
I absorbed his power.
Exactly.
Through some sort of like completely localized electrical storm.
Exactly. And then absorbing that power has allowed you to become partner at your law firm. Is that fair to say?
not a lawyer, but...
but partner nonetheless.
Partner at the garbage partner truck that I drive for a job.
Right. Partner at the immortal firm.
I mean, that's why there can be only one lawyer. So you're still going around beheading the rest so you can become the lawyer.
Exactly. That's why I say I'm not a lawyer, because I'm not the lawyer.
And that's why they hand out all those katanas at law school.
Yeah.
Is that how it works at law firms? You just got to kill everyone else.
Scottish weapon.
Yeah.
We will.
Katana
we will
and a kilt.
That.
Name a more famous pair.
We will get to the intricacies of Scottish weapons in the modern age. Joining me also is my good friend Aaron Batten. Abe, you are looking rather law enforcement-esque with this new mustache you've shaved in.
Yeah, I've kind of salicked up a bit. Feeling better, feeling good. Sun's out, getting out on the streets. Got to get the salic look going for summer.
That's it. I love it. And continuing on with these law enforcement based look is Scott Burgess. Scotty, it's actually looking really full, and your hair's looking nice and full as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Aaron and I have got sort of a good cop, bad cop sort of situation going on here. So better stay in line is all I'm saying.
True. I'm going to go ahead and say Aaron's the good cop.
Oh, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm. He's got a dirty cop.
Yeah, okay.
Dirty cop. Well,
clean, clop?
Clop.
Mm-hmm.
I think dirty cops get a bad rap. You got to pay the bills somehow, you know. You got to pay the bills. So
there's got to be a dark to the light. Without light, there is no dark. Without dark,
exactly.
There is no light.
George Lucas, this is exactly what he was getting at.
Yeah, Star Wars was an analogy for police corruption. We all know that.
For moustaches.
I was trying to move. I didn't quite get that gesture.
Lando
I was just
Calrissian,
step around it.
Very strong moustache.
Very.
Anyway, talking about actually moustaches, we pivoted out of it. We were going to do Murder, She Wrote, but we pivoted out of that for a multitude of reasons. But first and foremost, it was in honor of the great man who had a great moustache at one stage, and Mr. Sean Connery, who sadly passed away recently. We decided to pivot into Highlander.
I mean, it's sad, but what a way to go. Like, apparently he's been living in the Bahamas for, you know, since he retired from acting, and he just died
20 years ago.
90. Well, it just went out. Like,
in the
that's
Bahamas.
Pretty good innings.
Like, that's how you want to finish.
Mm.
He's got a road. That's a roadmap to living right there.
So we'll pour one out.
And the fact
Sean.
That he hadn't really aged since 1970, just had the exact same look.
Hey, you know when you got a winning combination, you got to roll with it. He had some good toupees throughout his career. But early Connery, if you go back and watch some of those early Bond films with him in it,
he's wearing a piece in those.
I'm pretty sure
he is.
Really?
He is.
Yeah.
He went bald real early. Yeah.
Hair is just an impediment to better hair. Mm. Like real hair, you know?
But I tell you what, he wears them well. But you wouldn't know, you know now, but you wouldn't have known at the time.
At the time, he really got away with it.
In hindsight, you didn't know. But I tell you what, he was a brave man because he went through like a lot of different toupees. Just wore multiple pieces, giving no consistency to his hairline. We don't have Nicolas Cage just changing his hairline left, right, and center without Connery kind of just, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with
that.
Roll the dice each time.
He once said that the scalp is the ultimate acting tool.
It really is.
And you can really sort of manipulate the way that you are.
Yeah, who needs accent range when you got scalp range?
Free yourself from the shackles of foliage. You can really sort of become a character that still looks a lot like you, but just with hair.
Exactly. That's what Connery unlocked. You got to hand it to the man.
So in preparation for this, Scott and I actually watched the movie Highlander on Monday night. Have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't actually. No. I've actually got it on my list to watch of things to watch pretty soon. But please give me a snapshot.
Well, talking of Sean Connery's range, he plays a Spanish conquistador, if you can imagine that.
Can I? I'm just going to go out on a limb here and guess that he rolls with a Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well,
Scotland's a part of Spain.
Very little known fact.
Like Catalonia.
That's weird because I was reading on Wikipedia about how they. I think. I didn't realize. I haven't seen the original movie. I think I saw it when I was a kid. I know I've seen one of the Highlander movies, which was actually the last one, The Source. Oh. Not a great watch. Don't go and watch it.
Everyone says that you should start with that one. All the Highlander heads will say.
They do. It's like the source and work backwards. It's like the Star Wars. There's that certain way of watching it. You watch multiple. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what it's called. It's like, I've been told about it. Anyway, in the Wikipedia page, it talks about...
It's called prequels. It's called Star Wars.
No. It's like you watch like episode 1, episode 5, and then you watch
the
like
movies
episode...
The moustaches, the dueling sort of...
Yeah.
The dark and light energy from the moustaches.
You've lost me now. God, now I actually don't know what to say. Oh, no, that's right. Oh, Wikipedia says that his character is actually Egyptian in the original Highlander.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, he is Egyptian. Okay.
Yeah, but like, don't expect an Egyptian accent. I don't know, kind of imagining what he is.
Didn't you say he was a Spanish conquistador?
Well, I think he was born in Egypt. Because he's immortal, he became a conquistador.
Egypt's most well known for its pyramids and its Scottish immortal swordsmen.
Exactly. That carry Japanese weapons.
Yeah. This is kind of one of the through lines of the Highlander universe, which is that everybody... has some sort of accent that does not make any sense from like where they're from, where they are, who they're supposed to be. Not a lick of sense.
Yeah, that's probably a hallmark of the Highlander series. So Highlander, it's a 20-year franchise. Ran from 86 to 2007 was the final piece of the puzzle there. So there was 7 movies and 2 TV series, of which we're tackling one of the TV series today, which is Highlander The Series, which is about...
I thought that it was back on TV, like there was a modern recreation of this. Because I swear I'd heard people talking about it, but that was Outlander. So I don't know what the difference is.
Jez, there can be only one.
Oh, okay.
There can be only one Highlander.
Well, what's this imposter doing? Or did Outlander slay Highlander?
I think Outlander slayed Highlander because much the same as Christopher Lambert's career has been slain by Highlander, I should say. That's what killed it. I'm just going to go, before we get into the first episode and its breakdown, let's just talk quickly about something that's universal in this show. The theme song is... Ooh.
Hey, make sure they get full use of their
Oh, do it's they ever.
45% of the backing music.
As soon as the swords come out, bam. I just can't mash the play button on the Queen fast enough.
Here we are. And Queen made that for the original Highlander film.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I went and watched the video clip to that and Christopher Lambert is actually in the video clip with Queen. Like Queen and Christopher Lambert are interacting in the video clip. Which tells me that Lambert really cashed in at every point he could on that franchise.
This was really like one of the craziest things that came out of the trivia of Highlander the movie, which was that Queen loved it so much, like saw a pre-screening. Really? Like they showed them the film, was like, man, I loved it. And apparently, like, Freddie Mercury wrote Who Would Want to Live Forever? Or is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
In the cab on the way back from the screening. Like, it just affected him that much.
That's
which
so
is
funny.
Just ludicrous.
The bit that they really like is the... should I do it in a Freddie Mercury voice? Yeah.
Please do.
Scott, you're probably going to do it better than I would because you've got the moustache, but the I Am Immortal.
I am immortal. I have inside me blood of kings.
That's
like
that bit.
It's like he's here with us again.
Fuck the Golden Girls theme.
I actually did... what was that movie? We Will Rock You? No. The one with the Queen movie? What was it called?
Oh, yeah.
We Will Rock You, wasn't it?
Rami Malek was playing
the
Queen.
Yeah, so I did... Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie.
Rhapsody, yeah. So, yeah. Rami Malek acted, but in the he you know, it's, yeah, Hollywood's worst kept secret that he actually can't sing. So they got me in to do the
oh, really?
The songs for that movie, yeah.
Whilst that's you singing,
I have no rival, no man. Yeah.
Your identity is Hollywood's best kept secret.
Would you? So you would describe yourself as a stunt cock for Rami Malek, basically, is what you're saying.
Bit of a stunt moustache, yeah. Stunt throat.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the first episode, just one final tribute to Sean Connery. A great bit of trivia was that he bet the director that he couldn't film all his scenes in 1 week. And the director was like, oh, I'm taking you up on that bet. So Sean Connery basically got to bash out all of his scenes in a week. He was gone from Scotland back to his Spanish villa with $1 million.
Wow.
But the director won the bet, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But doesn't the director win that every time?
So win-win-win.
The director can just say, no, we need to do another take, or I need to get you back in tomorrow. Like, it's completely rigged. The system's rigged.
Oh,
but
man.
I guess, well, Sean won in the long run.
I think you're assuming too much of this director, Jeremy, in that he knows how to make films.
Well, I've got a good follow up to that particular story, which tied that particular bet story you've just gone with there. But I think
did you enjoy the movie?
Ah, more or less.
Okay.
I'd say enjoy, but it was definitely not good.
Is it just not good, or is it just dated?
It's just not good.
It's just not good.
And it's
the
dated.
Premise. I mean, we'll get into this when once we talk about the first episode. But the premise is dumb. It's a stupid premise.
There's a few large questions yet to be answered to this day.
But as we said, seven movies and two TV series. It's safe to say there's some serious fans of Highlander. But let's get into episode
mostly
one.
Mostly members of Queen.
Exactly. And I will tell my follow-up story to your little bet story, which ties in nicely. So let's unpack episode one and we'll go from there.
Duncan MacLeod is many things. An antique dealer, a strong advocate for male ponytails, a lover of women, and of course, in Highlander fashion, he's also a 400-year-old immortal Scottish swordsman. His eternal task, to slay the other immortals until there's only one left.
There can be only one.
But surprise, surprise, he's out of the game. One of Duncan's many lovemaking sessions is interrupted by a wayward youth, Richie, breaking into his shop. However, there's more players into this scene. The evil-masked, immortal Slan, bringing chaos and cheesy lines.
We haven't been properly introduced, but you'll get to know me, my dear.
But also, Connor MacLeod, a kinsman immortal from the same clan.
Sorry, Duncan, but this one is mine.
In order to protect his girlfriend Tessa, Duncan teams up with Connor to defeat Slan in an electric beheading atop a bridge. And afterward, they all escape to the forest because Duncan MacLeod is back in the game. And he's taking Tessa and Richie along for the ride.
All right. Slan has like three or four times where he confronts Duncan and just takes off midway through.
Oh,
could
my
kill
God.
Him like two, three times.
It sounds to me like we're about to have company, gentlemen. I just wanted to meet the charming lady of the house.
Until we meet again.
He barely, like, I was going to say they barely introduce him other than, he bursts through the window. He smashes, actually.
That's his move.
In that scene, he smashes like five or six windows. It's like elbow through one, hilt of the sword through another, jumps through another.
Just, doesn't know what doors are.
He's in here. Yeah. Slan doesn't have to defeat Duncan in battle because he's going to cripple him financially by just doing all this damage.
Glazier bills through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he's known as Slan the Cat because he likes to play with his prey. But it's just absurd the amount of opportunities he has to behead both of them. Mm. And he just walks, he's like, all right, catch you on the flip side.
Did you like the part where Duncan comes back to the antique shop and Slan's got Tessa tied up and he's pretending to like sharpen something with the angle grinder? And Tessa's under like under a sheet.
Bit of a sheet.
And she's not screaming or saying anything at all. Until he pulls the sheet away, and then she's like...
Slan even more. How he gets killed, though, he basically stalks them in the most least subtle way, in the least subtle car. gets confronted. And then at the end, where he's like
leather glove with like stuff all over it.
Rhinestone.
And just, and then at the end, he says, "I'll be on this bridge. Wait for me." Basically, declares where he'll be, waits there, and broad like in very like a very well lit bridge, allows Duncan and Connor to set up a complete ambush for him, and gets killed.
Mm.
It's like, well, what
is the point of setting the environment if you're not going to take advantage of it?
I'm going to go ahead and say he likes to play with his. He calls him Dunk Slaying the Cat because this is the first time he's confronted any immortal. This is the first time because he clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
You start with the nickname and then you get into the sword play.
And then, he came up with a strategy, didn't work, dies straight away. Like, what a.
And also, his whole shtick is like, I'm not immortal. I don't know any better. He wears a mask in battle because he doesn't want to protect his face because of his good looks. The man's haggard as fuck.
He's just like a grizzled 50-year-old man.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. He's not preserving shit.
No.
Also, why is there all like electricity when they're dueling? I know there's electricity at the end when he absorbs the energy after they behead someone. Mm-hmm. But when their swords are clashing, there's like sparks going around and like jolts of electricity going through the bridge and stuff.
And Queen playing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really supposed to be an answer for that.
Okay. Just like... immortal stuff.
It's just cause.
Yeah.
Just cause.
Yeah, immortal stuff, electricity, sword, ponytails.
I can tell you that was a very prominent part of the movie.
Electricity?
Swords clashing, electricity flying everywhere. Even in the 1600s, before electricity.
We're not immortals.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's more of a lightning thing. They're not like... saw play flicking a light on and off.
No.
Going to the switchboard.
So the other part of the first episode that I think we need to talk about is just the general lovemaking of Duncan. They open hard with like a.
Can we talk about how long that opening?
Would you describe it as the room-esque? Kind of,
it is. It was
open on a lovemaking scene. Yeah. Sort of go away, come back to what
long.
Is very clearly the same lovemaking scene.
Yeah,
and then like he like shirtless wine drinking later as well after like the first confrontation, and then he's having a discussion with Tessa about how many I wish you could grow old with me because it's her birthday or some shit.
From now on, every year you'll look at me and see someone who looks older and older than you, while you stay the same.
But he's just sitting there shirtless, drinking wine, and then it's just straight into the lovemaking again. I want to ask this. This is more sort of going to be aimed at the reboots, but I guess if you're immortal, what else is this? With swordsmanship and there's stickmanship, and you just kind of lean into both. Get really good at the sword. Get really good at laying pipe. Yeah.
I want to circle back to what you were referring to earlier, Jez. That
would he
sequence.
Be the best lover in the world? Yes or no?
Probably. He's got enough experience. He's got 400 years up his sleeve.
You'd hope so.
I mean, not to spoil the last episode for everyone, but they go through a montage of like. All the time periods where he's been a warrior, and then all the women that he's bed in each of those time periods in the last episode.
Yeah,
it's very James Bond-esque.
A lot of generations to cover.
It's clearly a big part of being an immortal Highlander as well, because Duncan and Connor have it's a real sticking point in their relationship that he gets all the best women.
Probably 50% of their
who's
their
the best
is based around what kind of
who's
women
the best coxman.
Get.
Yeah.
As long as I remember knowing you, you've had all the fun and most of the good women.
Lately?
Lately? What are you talking about?
Well, I seem to remember that girl in London.
Come on, that was almost 160 years ago.
That's what I said, lately.
Cut out those training montages of teaching a
of them fighting how with to the, wield. With them just raging erections. Fighting there's in a warehouse.
Shing, lightning coming down.
No man is my hero. That opening sequence went for 7 minutes.
Are you really?
Richie, from the start, the opening minute, like from when the introduction of the credits, is like, I am Duncan MacLeod, I am immortal, that whole thing, to Richie breaking in, which is a very slow process of him cutting the glass out.
He's a 17-year-old, he's a teenage delinquent. Why has he got like Mission Impossible type tools when he's just a like
wearing
a,
the do-rag and like he's a
ruffian? Yeah,
he's yeah, petty criminal, ruffian. But with the, it is the glass cutter.
Like the clamps on the alarm, and he's got the glass cutter and stuff. Come on,
but it is 7 minutes until then. Duncan goes, "There's someone here." that's how long it took. Because I remember watching, I'm like, God, this is a really long sequence. And that's a 49-minute episode. And the first 7 minutes is just Richie cutting glass and Duncan getting Tessa.
Clearly, they were running short of content in the first episode.
They padded it out too much.
Duncan also cutting glass with that raging immortal erection. So it's not just Richie cutting glass.
The more we talk about this, the more with the diamond tip tools. Rings of Renegade. With the similar opening montage of the beach makeout, a lot of dusters, flowing hair.
This is actually probably more leather jackets.
This was more of a later time slot Renegade, I think, because the lovemaking was a bit more upfront.
I'm just thinking, do you guys reckon that Reno Reigns, Renegade, is an immortal? Is he a Highlander, a Badlander?
Good theory.
He was a cop.
The Badlander.
Good at his job,
right?
But now he's immortal.
Mm.
There are some distinct parallels here. That's for sure.
The hair.
It's got the potential. Definitely has the potential.
The razor sharp penis.
The duster. The razor sharp penis.
Renegade felt like it had a bigger budget than this, though, which is horrifying to think.
I mean, when you spend 50% of the budget on swords, replacing glass windows, and ankle-length jackets to conceal katanas...
So yeah, what do you need? You just need a couple of swords and a couple of hunks. Like that's.
I can tell you this show was financed by some French investors, some German investors,
Cold
some
steel.
American ones. Mm. But so Christopher Lambert got paid $500,000 to do 3 days of shooting. Keep in mind,
he can't act.
Think of how much Christopher Lambert. So Christopher Lambert. Was in this episode. He was a pretty big part of this first episode. All done in 3 days. $500,000.
Oh, so he's Connor.
Jeez.
Yeah.
He's Connor. He's the Highlander from the movie.
Learned a thing or two from Sean.
So apparently, from what I read was... So Lambert apparently pushed really hard to get this series off the ground. Didn't want to be in it, but he wanted Highlander to have a series, basically. So the he could have a franchise he could circle back into.
Get $500,000.
Yeah, but no. So he actually initially asked. It was going to be a really small cameo. He wanted it. It was a small cameo, and he was going to be paid $50,000. But the French investors pulled out because they didn't want to pay Lambert to be in it. But then the German investors apparently said they would only keep their investment if Christopher Lambert was in it. So somehow Lambert's ended up getting 10 times the amount of what his initial payment was to be in a very small role, and they've got him in for 3 days, cranked it all out, and that's the only episode he's in. So he's in and out, $500,000. Have you ever watched, it's like the Krusty the Clown when he comes in to do his lines.
Hey.
All right, you Poindexters, let's get this right. One. Hey, kids, I'm talking Krusty. Two. Hey, here comes Sideshow Mel. Again. Here comes Sideshow Mel. Sideshow Mel. Three. Bada bing, bada boom, I'm done. Learn from a professional, kid.
Okay, Krusty, we are ready to roll. What the?
Make sure you got that clip in, please,
Krusty, we're ready when you are. And he's just already out the door.
You have to give it to him for making the most out of his talents, because he... has done well, and he's not a good actor.
You know, I've been thinking. Why are you smiling? Because I've been thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
No.
I would use
the word talents very loosely.
I think the highlight of the word talents comes in. Can we just talk about the accents that kind of just drift in and out? That
of being Scottish
moment,
or just vaguely English?
Well, I wouldn't even say Scottish. They're like half French. Like, what's going on?
I think it's kind of... You cannot put a finger on it.
The songs are told where people came from. How they lived. What they believed in.
You gave your word, MacLeod.
Let's just say I had a change of heart.
It has to be born out of Lambert's performance in the film. Because here's a little bit of trivia about him, which was that the director, when they signed him on to act in the film, They signed the contract. Then after that, learned that he spoke very little English.
Really?
He grew up in Geneva. His dad working for the UN and did not speak English. He'd been in a bunch of like French movies.
Christopher Lambert. He was French.
Yeah, born in the US, but moved to Europe at a very young age. And at the time of signing on to the Highlander movie, not much English.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. The people that are behind this don't really understand how to make films.
I think they're because the That's director insane. Of the movie, he did a lot of music videos.
Right.
So I reckon that was their wheelhouse. And they're like, no, we can do a movie.
Hence why they got the hook in with Queen.
You can't. Yeah. That's insane. Because like it's not like they got Sean Connery, which is like, I mean, he was older in the 80s, but he was still essentially an A-lister. They paid him $1 million for a week. 6 days' work. And he clearly took him for a ride.
Yeah.
Well,
why wouldn't you?
So,
yeah. Oh, this is money to jam.
it's a good premise, right? Because there can only be one. I feel like that spawned a lot of kind of movies within that sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not great execution of the premise.
Jet Li's The One was one that came to mind for
Jet
me.
Jet Li's The One, yeah.
Mm.
I said it spawned a lot of, imitators, but that's probably it.
That's a big one.
But what is it? It's just like, let's get a couple of shirtless hunks, give them giant great swords and just
it's
get
sort
them
sort of like
duke it out.
It's kind of like
in leather dusters.
It's kind of like dramatic sword wrestling, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Uncharismatic sort of people whose, main kind of source of charisma comes from their weird, weird laughs. Do you guys notice Christopher Lambert's laugh is just like this really bizarre? It's like should be reserved for villains only.
He's got like a weird half eye pose.
Christopher Lambert,
it's like Tommy Wiseau-esque.
I'm so shocked by that. Like, I knew he wasn't a good actor, but that kind of takes it to another level.
Is that where
like,
the German
how do you make
German
how do you make the mistake
from?
Of
Tommy Wiseau?
What Tommy? How do you make that mistake? Like, how do you end up casting someone that doesn't speak the language? I just don't understand. Like that seems insane to me.
That's not where like the faults end with the film as well. Because just bring it back to Sean Connery's performance. The opening, like how they have in the opening of the show with like Adrian explaining the whole Highlander bizzo. They have that with Sean Connery, and apparently at the start of the film, it's like a bit of a monologue that Sean Connery gives, like a voiceover, and it's super echoey.
From the dawn of time, we came. Moving silently down through the centuries.
And apparently they recorded... Sean Connery had already like fucked off back to his Spanish villa and they recorded it in the bathroom and then played it to the directors over the phone and they couldn't hear that it was like really shit quality so they just kept it.
Oh my God. And it's such an iconically Scottish movie and thing, and they make the one Scottish actor they cast, they make him fucking Egyptian and Spanish. Yeah.
And he's from
not the one Egypt. Scottish what? Actor they cast, like the most famous Scottish actor ever.
Of all time. Like
refuses to change accent.
We're getting bogged down in the movie here.
In the movie, we really are. We gotta talk about the show.
should we run through the finale quickly and then we can just give our complete thoughts on the Highlander universe.
I think that's probably the best way of going about it.
In the final episode of Highlander, Duncan is taken to an alternate timeline where he never existed.
Destiny is like a river, MacLeod.
As the Spanish say, que sera, sera.
What will be.
The ghost of Highlander's past leads him to Tessa, who gave up on her artistic dreams and leads a luxurious but empty life, and to a bunch of his immortal buddies who are now at war with each other.
What's going on?
It's a reckoning.
Oh, come on, man. Just give me another chance.
Duncan wakes up back in his reality to solve some beef with some no-good immortals, and Highlander ends with a sweeping montage of Duncan's journey through the ages.
So, at the end, so he slays that guy, but it kind of looks like, does he give up his powers at the end? Is that what happens?
I don't know.
No, I don't
think
so.
This was very similar to the movie in that it's left very, very vague. A lot of lightning happens, a lot of car windows smash, and something's changed, I guess.
I suppose you want some closure where you know that there's only two left and there can be only one.
Mm.
So one of them gets beheaded and now there is only one. But we don't know that.
We don't know that. It just ended with sort of a bit of like a clip show
there was all the women that he bedded
over the years.
There's a bunch of movies that come after this show that in some way, shape, or form conclude what happens. That he's in with Christopher Lambert.
So they specifically leave it open.
Mm.
So I don't know if they did it specifically for the show. I think it's just lazy writing. But there were more. Well, the thing is, like as we talked about, it's a big franchise. There's a fair bit of meat on this bone. So, which I was shocked about because I tell you what, I don't know how it works. before we start to unpack the show a little bit, I was looking at the Fitz, the guy that was guiding him through. So it's weird. Ghost of Christmas Past. He's basically going through what would happen if he never existed, which is ludicrous because I tell you whose life is much better off without Ever Duncan getting involved. Tessa.
Everybody almost, really, I would think.
Really great life, and he really fucks it up.
Yeah. You don't have a little swordsman trying to cut you up and behead your boyfriend.
And then he gets involved in her new life and fucks it up even more.
Like, ruins her marriage.
Well, you know. He's got to get it in.
Is the framing of this episode kind of like, is it like Scrooge, Ghost of Christmas Past, Present and Future, sort of Wizard of Oz, unconscious, woke up, it was all a dream kind of thing? Is that what's going on here, or is it some sort of other reality?
That's what made me think he gives up his powers at the end, because they're trying to kind of make him realize... you know, the impact of his immortalness on other people's lives, whereas it'd be better for everyone if he didn't exist.
I don't think you can give up your powers, Jez, because he was in the first episode. He's like talking about how he's trying to stay out of the immortal game. Doesn't want to. That's why he lives on the hallowed ground and tries to stay away from it. I think he's just stuck as a fucking immortal.
Mm.
Maybe I watched this show more intently than you did.
You are a student of mid-90s fantasy shows.
You're talking, about the first episode. We're talking about the last episode. Like, I'm assuming there's some stuff that happens in between, which is kind of the premise of it. It's kind of the reason we all gathered here.
granted, but I don't think the rules just changed.
But maybe he finds a way, especially if you're considering the last one, maybe you can just kind of be like, I'm done with this.
Mm. You're probably you could be right, Jez, but there's like six movies after this that kind of say that you're wrong. So anyway,
Morgan's seen all of them.
Exactly, I've seen the last one.
This podcast is basically a gotcha thing on Jez for not quite understanding the nuances of how Highlander.
For not having seen Highlander
idiot,
Renegade
Jez.
Or whatever.
Yeah, don't you get it?
Into a trap.
Okay, I've got to get this out. So Fitz was played by the lead singer of The Who.
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah, Roger Daltrey.
Really?
I'm like, God, you look familiar.
This show has a real tie to musicians. Aaron, you were saying that...
Why?
Yeah,
Roland Gift?
Roland Gift, the lead singer of the Fine Young Cannibals, was in five episodes.
He's got an arc. What is going on?
Apparently Joan Jett's in the show as well. I think it's their music video ties
have
really come through. And any halfway decent actor... they have burned their bridges with, and they know not to get on board on this show. Mm. And musicians are the only ones who are far enough out of the loop to get sucked up into whatever this cyclone is.
And sucked up they have become, because I don't think when you look back at Roger Daltrey's career, he goes, I was in an episode arc of a Highlander the series. Really?
Yikes.
So I just want to talk about one scene in particular. When Duncan goes to Tessa's house when she's in the glimpse version of his life where he doesn't exist, and he goes to have, like, the husband invites him around to dinner as an old college friend. That scene, he answers the phone.
I guess what we said about that.
You know, maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. He answers the phone.
Damn it, Al. The plans have been approved.
I'm on my way.
The whole thing's falling apart.
And then the next scene, he's in the other... then it kind of changes angle, and all of a sudden he's walking in from the other room. Did you guys notice that? Like, he has his phone, and then all of a sudden... and then it just changes angle to Duncan sitting on the couch. And then he's walking in and go, Albert, I cancelled that contract. Sorry, I've got to go into work. Can't someone else handle it? No. No. Out. Gone. Don't see that character again. It's like, whoa, what happened there? How did he get from that room to that room?
Bad move from him as well. This handsome man from your wife's past comes back. Yeah. And she's clearly enamored with him. And he's like, I'll just leave you guys to catch up. Gotta go down to the old office.
Is it just me, or is this like a bit of a trope that happened? I cannot name anything that I've seen it in, but I feel like I've seen it before, where there's like some sort of unattentive husband who is just completely oblivious to the fact that there's just like some supposedly very attractive man who clearly has some sort of chemistry with his wife, and they just like, they're a workaholic and they just leave.
Scott, you've seen it before. Desperate Housewives.
When did that happen in Carlos, Jesse Metcalf.
His grass.
Clearly, these men need to get a clue.
Yeah, no, that guy. I feel like that guy knew. I reckon he was into it.
You reckon he was into it?
The
gardener and what we didn't sort of unpack in Desperate Housewives is the gardener is part of this immortal chain of
naturally
of gardeners, of which there can only be one.
Obviously, that I mean that glorious brown skinny hat is timeless,
and they just fight with those kind of. Fight on a bridge at night in dusters with whippersnippers.
I reckon the big sort of hedge trimmers.
Oh yeah,
probably pretty good for
beheading.
A bit of a head snip. You know,
that would be great for a head snip. Yeah, that's actually, we've got something in this. I didn't realize Desperate Housewives was actually Highlander semicolon Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, it was a spin-off.
True. Can we talk about what I feel like is the elephant in the room here, which is that the whole show is kind of based around the fact that these immortals have to decapitate each other in order to eliminate them, but they're clearly on a time slot where they can't show decapitation. So everything happens off camera all the time?
Yeah.
It really detracts from it. I think the most glaring example was in the first episode when Slam was getting beheaded. Mm. And as the sword came down, it went to like these really fast cuts where the vision kind of went blurry and stretched out and all grainy.
There can be only one.
And then there's lightning shooting out of his neck.
Lightning out of his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the most unrealistic thing we've seen since Liam Neeson jumping over a fence and Taken 4.
The editor is working hard there.
What is the density of immortals amongst the population? It seems like it's like probably every second
ask
person.
I was going to ask this. I was saving this because I didn't have a reboot. I was going to ask you all, if you were immortal, what would you do? And also, if you were immortal in the 1500s and the population of the Earth was, you know, 70,000 people, I mean, I'm sure it was a lot more than that, but it wouldn't take... And it was a time where people just died all over the place. It wouldn't take that long to, like, funnel it down and work it all out. I guess you can't travel, but...
You'd think there would be quite a lot because the two originals in our story of Duncan and Connor, they both come from the same clan, which... Probably, what, max, like 100 people. Two immortals out of that. I reckon we're running at 2%.
Mm.
Yeah.
So these days, there's...
I guess until the invention of air travel, it was hard for the immortals to kind of whittle each other down, you know? Kind of stuck in their islands.
Globalized land.
Assuming there's one in Japan at some point because he's got a katana, inexplicably, as a Scottish swordsman.
But to answer your question, Jez, what I would spend my time doing would likely be collecting old vintages of wine to open them in romantic situations in order to bed women.
Oh, yeah. But then
seemingly,
would you also...
that's mostly what they do.
Would you also fight in every single war for some reason? Because that's also what you're saying.
Probably. Yeah, chances of getting decapitated in a war, probably... I mean, higher than most other situations.
Would you just get like some really hardcore neck armor? And then otherwise just like walk out in some board
just
shorts?
Just naked. Completely naked. Just neck armor.
Hanging your 400-year-old dong.
Can anyone decapitate him? If I, as a mortal, swung my sword at his neck, would it just bounce off? Oh, he'd just come back to life?
He's not.
That's,
you can get hurt
because
by other things.
Isn't it only immortals that can kill them with the decapitation? If I was as a non-immortal and decapitated him, it'd be a waste, right? Because I wouldn't get his power because I'm not a Highlander. So.
Yeah, but I reckon he'd be cooked. I don't think he's coming back from that.
It's sort of like getting disqualified, I think. So if there was two left, the other one would win by default.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
TKO.
And just, no matter what they're doing, they just start vibrating. And
oh, my God.
Oh, just taking a shit, and then suddenly.
Do you think when you become an immortal, you get issued a leather jacket, like a duster?
Yeah, I reckon.
Because it was caught, like, in the
and
scenes.
And a katana,
with,
yeah.
Yeah, it's in the scenes with, like, Richie and the evil guy with the scar of his eyes and Mythos. They're all just hanging out. They're all wearing, like, dusters. Like, do you guys just, like, where do you get these from? It's like, I hate, like, a trend. It's like, oh, well, if I'm immortal, I gotta have a duster. Like,
yeah, yeah, I mean, it's a big investment, but when you're immortal, you know that investment's paying off. You're getting a good few centuries.
It's the only fashion item that never goes out of style.
Exactly. As we know, like medicine, the duster is cyclical. It just keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm. Not even
it's
cyclical.
On like 6 month rotation.
The cycle is just constant 100% approval rating.
Yeah, on Richie, I don't know if he was a Highlander and mortal in the same way, because they referenced like a society of watchers. Who just observe the immortals
this sort
fighting?
Of like kind of
that
Buffy-esque
was
kind of thing.
Stupid.
What do you
if
mean?
You think
there's
about
a bunch
it,
of guys with video cameras. Just
no, because it's not like Buffy, Scott. Because I'm watching Buffy at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
In the
bushes.
The Buffy watchers
because they're not training them per se. It's not one to one.
The watchers are like there to help guide the Slayers. These guys are literally like it's like
voyeurs.
No, but it's like when we did what's that one with Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman, the Beauty,
and,
Beauty
the Beast.
And the Beast, and there was the Helpers. It's a really fucking lazy name. The Watchers. these guys. There's people that watch and observe the immortals. Why? They just watch and observe them.
No reason.
It's like honestly, I feel like that's what Alex Jones's podcast would be about, just observing immortal people. Like, it's ludicrous that you could think that's what it is. It's like we've got a set of characters, they just watch people. It's such lazy writing.
I like to watch.
It's like,
who do you think the Alex Jones watchers are watching at the moment?
This is just adding to the Tommy Wiseau canon.
It's stupid.
You know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Tally, why have just who is it? Is it Denny or whatever in
oh, yeah.
I just like watching you guys.
I just like to watch you guys.
Denny, do you have something else to do?
I just like to watch you guys.
That scene in The Disaster Artist when
there
that comes up.
There can only be one.
And just it shows that scene of Denny going, I'd like to watch you guys. And it flashes to Jason Manzoukas in the crowd. And he just goes, I do not like this. That's exactly what I feel. That's exactly how I feel about the Watchers. I do not like them. It does not make any sense.
I just like to watch you guys.
Hi, McClouds.
Shirtless soul.
Hi, McClouds.
Oh, too close.
Jesus.
Too close.
Another question about the rules of this world. At what point do they become immortal?
Yeah.
At what point do they come? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the moment of climax?
The sex scene goes for so long. And if you're...
I think it's sort of perpetual.
Or you've been running on empty after that many centuries?
For 400
in
years.
In a constant state of ejaculation.
Mm. Or maybe they haven't hit puberty yet. Who knows?
But like, it really doesn't address that or explain it at all. How you become a Highlander, or how you
is it when they die the first time?
I feel like it's when they die.
But still, it's when you die. But how do you get selected to be one when you die? Like, do you just hang out with someone?
Or, I think you're already,
and then you get it.
You're already one, and then you die. I think that's
you buy a duster.
You buy a duster.
If you die when you're wearing a duster, you become immortal.
All right. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
So does that mean there's going to be some Highlander out there who's lived a pretty safe life, who's like 95,
and then gets Highlanded when they're 95?
Yeah, and then they're just living an immortal life as a decrepit old man
because they don't
who
know.
Who's like if Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka had to live forever,
can't hold the sword up.
Because I don't know if we've explained this, but like they don't have any superpowers or anything like that.
They're just
happen to be immortal and
so
they can heal. So like if you're pushing like 90, you're pretty much left with the kind of physique,
yeah,
bone structure that you've got. It's just that when people cut you up,
yeah, but you've got like 100 years to just 100 years straight to just drink milk and like
sort of Benjamin Button it.
And then you've got another 100 years to just do sit-ups. And then another 100 years to just do push-ups.
Yeah, if you can just get like a milk IV and just lie in bed until you've got the strength to wield a great sword.
Give it 300-400 years as an immortal 90-year-old and you get jacked. Is it time to... Have we got any further thoughts about this last episode? Or are we feeling like it's time to reboot?
No. I think reboot. Reboot? Reboot.
You can do better.
Mm.
Do you guys mind if I go first?
Please.
So my reboot, it's another tangible one. I'm getting really involved in the tangibility of my reboots. Yeah. So look, you know...
Is it the fashion of Highlander?
Because that's no, no, that's pretty simple. It's just all dusters.
Clip-on ponytails?
Yeah. No, no. It's more of a modern take. So, you know, it's like being a Highlander in the world and you got to track down other Highlanders using just your feelings and your brain to sort of find the other Highlanders so you can behead them and get their power through electricity. I'm getting sick of that. So I've developed an app, Findlander. Where you can connect with other Highlanders to
like-minded Highlanders
to buy the
not all enemies
them or, no exactly sometimes you know it's
sometimes
tough
you can be buds
immortal.
you
want to be out there, you want to
rip your chops off and practice some sword play.
Yeah.
bed or behead or you want to bed or behead, or you want to crochet some dusters, or just, you know, make some Japanese weapons for your Scottish background. So Findlander is a modern app on your phone you download, helps you reconnect or for the first time connect with other Highlanders in your local area.
Maybe you've never met another Highlander.
What's the tagline?
You didn't know until you got on the Play Store and you found this app.
Yeah, so available for iOS and Android is Findlander.
What's the tagline?
There can be more than one.
There can only be one for you.
Ah, I was actually going to say there can be more than one, but I like that more.
Oh, there can be more than one.
I'm a
polygamist. Polygamist Highlander.
Polygamist.
I'm looking forward to, Morgs, the launching of this app where it'll be you and Roger Daltrey on stage in dusters like Steve Jobs and Bono holding your fingers out as electricity comes down, Queen blaring.
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. Here we are. And then Roger Daltrey would be quite disappointed that I didn't play... Well, I can't play any of the Who because it's all owned by CSI. So...
What does he want? He made
some
his
fine
bed.
Young cannibals.
He made his bed. You may have appeared in Highlander, crazy. But you tied your wagon to CSI and Mark Harmon. I can't. It's not my fault. So that's my new app, Findlander.
Fantastic. Sounds like it's going to be very popular.
It's pretty good.
I think
all
so.
All alone Highlanders out there.
2% of the population.
Mm. All right, I'm going to jump in. Mine is actually quite close to that, Morgan, although it's not... I wouldn't quite describe it as an app. More like a service. And so my question to you is, are you an unattentive husband? Do many strange men frequent your spouse's social lives? Well, here's the service for you, the Highlander Hotline, and you can take it from the horse's mouth. As serial wife stealers who love a bit of fun, they'll teach you all the signs that your wife is unsatisfied and ready to jump in bed with an immortal near you. So you got to look out for the signs. So the basic sort of things they're going to teach you about is, you know, like if they're annoyed with you, that you don't spend time with them or with the kids. If you hear like large sighs when you say that you're working late again. And if they start detailing old friendships with men who have loose John Travolta aesthetics. Those may be some signs that your wife is about to jump ship. So get ahead of the curb and learn to keep your spouse satisfied so the McLeods don't come and take them away from you.
John Travolta-esque, you think? I was going to say more like Budget Clive Owen. Budget the Hound.
Oh, Clive Owen, I reckon.
That's pretty close.
Ponytail Clive Owen.
I thought Adrian looked a little bit like sort of... Maybe young like John if John Travolta had a ponytail in...
Welcome back, Cotter.
That's sort of that kind of era. Sort of straightened hair.
Travolta. Jeez.
Some Clive Owen aspects to his look as well. I think maybe like a Travolta, Clive Owen.
Like sort of hybrid?
Mix.
A hybrid, yeah. Like built in a lab by Christopher Lambert.
Now, Christopher Lambert.
And me. I'll advise on that because I'm a John Travolta expert.
I think
as the foremost expert in that field. You're like, if they have a John Travolta segment on like... a morning show, a breakfast show.
Yeah, Morgs is the talking head.
Morgs is the guy they get to dial in, yeah.
And I'll do it in like an all black suit with like the like skinny goatee that he has.
The straight swordfish goatee?
Yeah, but it'd be penciled on and then I'd just have the John Travolta wig. Thanks for having me.
No, I feel like that reboot has a lot of tie-in with our ER reboots where we're going to be driving around giving hair transplants and... Probably give out that pamphlet to some husbands that might be on the brink in trouble.
Vertical integration. I love it, Aaron.
Exactly. We got a whole product empire we're building here.
Fits in.
Oh, God.
Also,
yes.
Just because I forgot to mention it in the first episode, did you guys get the feeling that the... Because we got two McLeodsmen. Did you get the feeling that Connor McLeod was trying to get in on their relationship a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, good. I just want to know if it was just me.
I think it was more based on the fact that Christopher Lambert thought he was a better actor than Adrian Paul, so he's just trying to muscle in just instinctively.
Okay.
He went rogue.
It's a battle for the ages.
Speaking English for like 3 weeks at that point, so he's a master.
Do you think is that why everyone else's accents drifted in and out? Is it Christopher Lambert's did all the time? So it was in their contracts that they had to sort of match the. They had to make it look natural that your accent would drift in and out.
Yeah,
it'd be throwing Lambert you out. Like I feel like I would forget how to talk if he was around.
I'm so staggered by the fact that he didn't know how to speak English. I'm floored by that. Just don't hire him. If you find that out, get someone else. Like he clearly.
I don't understand how you can sign a contract without talking to someone.
Yeah. How did that happen? That seems like that's bad. It's bad casting. Mm. Like someone needs to get fired.
That's music video casting. That's what that
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Is anyone else?
Don't even try.
Do we have another reboot? Do we have another reboot?
I don't have a reboot, but I've got a list. If we're ready for that,
okay. My reboot was just I wanted to talk to you guys about what you would do if you were immortal. But
well, what would you do?
Oh.
So I guess this kind of came from the fact that I didn't really understand why he kept, going into battle. Like, surely you just kind of after a while. I guess he does when we sort of enter his life. He's accepted the quiet life, just selling antiques and bedding beautiful women, but. He's on like every single battleground there ever was. Just like, can you imagine being in World War One and then like being immortal as well? If you were just stuck,
I'd see some shit
underneath like a pile of 500 bodies in World War One, and you're immortal.
And by the time World War Two comes around, you're like, time for round two.
Yeah, exactly.
Put me in the game, coach.
I just like, I know that he's immortal, but why do you keep putting yourself at risk of death?
Yeah, he probably learned to dodge that.
Sell antiques, like he did. Just buy shit 400 years ago, hold on to it, sell it now.
Easy. Would you spend like 100 years getting in prime physical shape and then make a run to be like a professional sportsman?
I think I would.
You could do that.
I'd give it a go.
Predict what's like, how this...
Yeah, I'll start now and I'll be like MVP in the Slam Ball World Championship in 2021. 2021? Sure, next year.
Supersedes the NBA in 2050. Yeah.
But so I guess the
Slam Ball.
To answer your question that you were about to ask, Scott, I guess you just become the fittest person ever. So it doesn't matter what the sport, which sport becomes popular. Right, you don't actually have to have skills in the sport. You're just the best athlete ever. If you just
unilateral,
because you know how Donald Bradman got really good at cricket by like hitting the stick and the golf ball
against the water tank.
Imagine if he did that for 100 years, he'd be insane.
He'd be the best at anything.
100 years of just honing your hand-eye coordination. Forget about it.
Are you trying to say that Donald Bradman was a Highlander?
He might have been. I think he got beheaded by Shane Warne.
I think I'd go on some crazy 100-year bender. Just party through. This
I was about to say, it would be hard to keep that physique for 100 years.
Sort of like
you'd let it slip for a couple and there'd be a long road back.
Yeah. Sort of like your Xena-style... Your Xena style bender, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Burn down a village and kill 40,000 people. Woo!
You've raised another good question. So if like a 3-day bender for us mortals is a long bender, what's a long bender for a Highlander?
Oh man, it'd get real
weird.
At least a few years. Like I think I imagine years. Imagine the bend. Like say you were in World War II and you fought in World War II as an immortal and fought for the Allies, and then imagine the bend you would have after the Allies won.
Oh yeah,
Nazi That'd Germany surrendered
just in time to get to Vietnam. I guess.
Oh,
can they overdose?
Yeah. Will you be ready? I mean, by the time you came down, career's on and you're ready to go.
Yeah. You work hard, you play hard.
Exactly.
Highlander.
I'm not recommending that's what I would do. I'm just saying I would definitely...
The question's got to be asked.
As a part of being an immortal, that's what I'm going to do. Look at it.
Let's get to this list.
I agree.
All right, we have a list. I don't have it open. I can't remember the user's name. We'll call him Roger Daltrey, though. So this list is a 5,000 word write-up of what I think is a biopic of a member of The Who, John Entwistle. So he was the bassist of The Who, and this person has written out 14 very detailed scenes on how this movie will play out.
What?
Just another real interesting use of the platform. So they've got Roger Daltrey, Who lead singer and Highlander star, as producer, and they've cast bothered to cast one actor.
Who'd they cast?
So he clearly wasn't good enough to play himself.
No, apparently not. They cast, I'm bringing up his name, this guy from Three Billboards. He's like a Caleb Landry Jones. He's in Three Billboards and Get Out. He's like the white brother in Get Out.
Yeah, oh, like sort of the redheaded dude.
Yeah, yeah. So he's playing the guy from The Who, and otherwise you got Daltrey producing it, and that's about it.
Can I see that?
But we got a fully fleshed out kind of story.
Did you kind of go over what the scenes were?
It was very matter of fact. There were a lot of Wikipedia references in there.
Oh, Jesus. What? Okay.
So I'm not sure if this was time well spent for this particular user, Roger Daltrey.
Was it 5,500 words?
But yeah.
Do you think this project will get off the ground? Do you think it'll get legs?
Well, I mean, it's out there. It's the platform that movies get made of. IMDb lists, right? That's like Hollywood's Hollywood's
That's where they draw most of their inspiration from.
That's the blacklist or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't they have this, the blacklist where they've got all these scripts that they've never produced? That's like the next level of that is just IMDb
list. The IMDb list.
Yeah. It's found money. If you get a banger script out of that, you know, and you don't pay anything.
There was that guy who had a really long Reddit post and got a book deal from it at one time.
Really?
Do you remember that happening?
Oh, so it's not crazy. Anything. What you're saying is...
What was it about?
It was something like... It was an Ask Reddit question that was like, who would win between a fight between Alexander the Great and Hitler or something like that? And he wrote this massive post that was very literary and got a book deal from it. So this user, whoever they may be...
Not without precedent.
...might have something to go on.
Got legs.
Who knows? Strange things have happened.
Not a great use of the IMDb list, though. I feel like...
Nah, it's better. It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I want is a list of all the musical guest stars in The Highlander. I was looking for that, couldn't find it.
Damn.
You think Johnny Cash rolled through at one point?
Oh, yeah, Johnny Cash can do a good Scottish accent.
Mine would be my list of actors who I think are immortal and I would like to see face off in some sort of arena.
Oh, yeah.
So who do you think?
Keanu Reeves, the ageless?
Keanu Reeves, Betty White.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Is this like a Royal Rumble? All in
Yeah, but they're all kind of Highlander actors.
Yeah, nice.
So they've got to rip their heads off.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
If there's one thing for sure, Betty White looks great in the duster.
You better believe it. And she's been doing 100 years of sit-ups, like we were saying. she's ready for battle.
Have you seen Betty White's abs these days?
Oh, man.
It's out of control.
Out of control.
Crack a walnut on those things.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's start to tie things up. But final thoughts on Highlander? Will you guys go back and rewatch any of this? I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway.
My final thought would be, was it a clip-on ponytail or was it real?
Well, that's a great question.
I would like to see a return of the low mullet. Everyone kind of starts the long hair basically right at the top, but
the low mullet. I know.
Start at the bottom. It's almost like a dignified, a thinking man's rat's tail.
All those Mensa street urchins.
Because for so long you assume that he's got a real tidy haircut, and then he just turns his back on the camera for 1 second, and you're like, oh,
it's so subtle.
Oh, hello.
It only worked. There's a couple of characters in Seinfeld that have that. It's something to be spoken for with, like you said, the low mullet, but just the very standard normal haircut, and then all of a sudden, it's not a party. It's just a really well groomed.
It's a surprise party, if anything.
It's a very
surprise dinner.
It's
a sophisticated social occasion.
Yeah, it's like
a soiree at the back.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It is.
It's a fancy dinner party at the back.
It's a fancy dinner party at the back. You know, you it's like carrying a concealed weapon.
It's a governor's ball at the back.
Yeah, you don't know what's. Yeah.
It's very it's very like the Patriot when they had like the bow on
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
So maybe you cut that in like 1820, and he's like, I'm just gonna.
This is I mean, good. You would. You'd find like a few hundred years in, you'd find something that works for you, and
it's tough.
You
it's
be like I'm rocking this for the next 175
like
years.
Like the duster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that exactly. He had that haircut in, you know, 1855, and he was kind of like, you know what? Probably not going to need to change this for at least 100 years. This is a good look. Mm.
Don't want to spoil it, but he does change it for the last episode.
He does, but not every immortal is going to move with the times. It's like it's like Larry David in Seinfeld where he wears the cape, you know.
To answer your question, Morgan, mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to watch any more of this. This is, yeah. I think, quite possibly one of the worst shows we've
I
done.
I think it's the very motto is quality. There can be only one viewing of this show.
Because yeah. there was no humor in it at all.
No, it can only be one star.
That was what was really lacking from, you know,
yeah.
we're used to
yeah.
seeing these bad 80s or 90s shows, but at least there's a bit of humor. This was just, it was taking itself way too seriously mm. for the subject material.
Oh, completely. Yep. And
that said, like, Connor McLeod laughs a lot.
Yeah. I was actually almost disappointed about it wasn't as in like I was hoping for another Renegade, but it wasn't
yeah,
quite
me too.
A Renegade. It's like you said, takes itself too seriously. It's just a little bit. It's too low budget. There's nothing really going on. It's just. It's very.
It's like 40% sword fights.
Seriously,
else.
Like the thing with like even in that first episode, like Slan comes back and three times he has these battles with Slan. You kind of just type like there's like 15 minutes of content in that episode, really. If you actually make the episode correctly, which they decided not to because they had to fill out 49 minutes. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's pretty meat and potatoes, if you ask me. Mm. Actually, that's an insult to meat and potatoes. It's just shit. No, I don't think we go back and revisit this one. And it's a.
I'm probably going to watch the movie. That's
yeah.
I'm
gonna, the movie, the I movie's worth the movie. A bit of a watch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll watch the movie. If for nothing else,
but don't stake too much on it.
Yeah. For the great man Sean Connery, I'm going to give it a look. So yeah. Anyway, look, we'll wrap things up there. Look, as always, please if you can go online and check out our website, theincompleteseries.com. Jump on our Facebook, Instagram. Give us a follow, and also, as always, if you could, on your preferred platform of podcast listening, give us a like or a rate and review. It would be greatly appreciated. It helps us get out there even further.
Throw us some suggestions as well.
Suggestions as well.
Always
jump on our website,
on the
give
website.
A suggestion. We always like to listen and see what people want to do. And some of our best episodes have come from suggestions, a la Renegade, which is, as I like to say, it's our Shawshank Redemption. So anyway, look, we'll leave things there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.